correctly, setting the example of how it is that we gather back to Christ Himself. Ezra and Nehemiah, fantastic. You'll enjoy them.
Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray. Welcome to Shepherd's Chapel Fall Fellowship 1996. What a glorious weekend Father provided us with for this weekend meeting. Hundreds of Bible students from all over the United States, Canada, and Mexico joined together to fellowship, worship, and hear Pastor Arnold Murray's messages, Stone of Scone and Labor Pangs. Today we're going to share highlights of those messages with you at home. You know, lots of old acquaintances were renewed and new acquaintances made. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and we know it is the Spirit of the Lord. We hope that you at home are touched by the Spirit, and in some way that this program will allow you to share in the experience of Fall Fellowship 1996. We were blessed this weekend, and we hope this program in some way blesses you at home. We'd like to thank the dozens of volunteers and the Shepherd's Chapel crew that made this weekend possible. It would not have been possible without them. Well, now let's join Pastor Arnold Murray as he takes us on highlights of Stone of Scone and Labor Pangs.
The Stone of Destiny. The Stone of Scone. Scone is a Celtic word that means fortified, fortress, walled. It means a safe place. And as you've all heard in the news, just from all over, that the stone from the coronation chair in Westminster Abbey is about to be returned to Scotland, where it once rested at Scone. The wars there were long, the Scottish and the Irish fighting for their independence. It continues to this day. But this is a very special stone. I want you to open your Bibles, if you will, and I will say, if you can't document something in the Word of God, it's not worth having, all right? It's not worth you wasting your time with it. I'm talking about in a religious sense, a spiritual sense. You apply those things to God's Word, and Genesis chapter 28, Jacob has just purchased his birthright from his brother, and he is on his way to his mother's brother's place, brother's name Laban, and he stops at a place because God has his hand on this lad. That's the way God chooses people to work with. And he chose this boy, and as he sleeps, well, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's pick it up in 28 and verse 10. Let's pick it up there. And Jacob went out from Beersheba, and he went toward Haran, Mount, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night. Well, it got dark because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. This is important. Sharpen up for me. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behind the angels of God ascended and descending. Ascending and descending. In other words, it was the gate to heaven. He opened up that contact with man and God. whereby communication was set forth. 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, listen to these directions, to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all, I repeat, all the families of the earth be blessed. This is what's fascinating to me when I find Celtic writings along the Rio Grande River in Kentucky, Tennessee, all over this nation, praising our Father. And as they did spread, this same people, 15, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. God, he was asleep. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. Stopped here, took a nap, overnight, went to sleep. He was here. And you know in your heart, he's always with us. I don't care what you're doing. He knows where you're at. 17, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? How awesome! This is none other but the house of God, being Beth-El in the Hebrew, and this is the gate of heaven. Underline it. That's good. It symbolizes with man the gate to heaven. That's important. You want to go there someday? You want to be there spiritually? Pay attention when the gate is spoken of. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil up on the top of it. First time an object was anointed in that sense. Anointed a stone. And he called the name of the place Beth-El, being house of Beth, house El God. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. That's what it was called. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Understand, he doesn't have a friend with him. He's all alone. And he's going to a new country to marry a wife. Quite a change, all right? Well, many of you are headed for a wedding, too. I hope all of you. Right? I hope all of you. I hope you participate in that great wedding that's about to be. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And for all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. You know that God's elect, those that are not deceived by the synagogue of Satan, are also pillars, as it is written in the great book of Revelation. Now, let's skip forward, if we may, whereby he has found the wife. He married her. He has two of them, as a matter of fact. And he's ready to depart. He's already earned. He came a poor man. He's leaving a rich man with quite a few possessions. Genesis 31, chapter 31. And I want to read one verse, verse 13. Bear in mind, I share with you, he's leaving. He has much property. He has family. And he says in verse 13 of chapter 31, Genesis, I, God speaking to him, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. You think he left the stone there? That's what we're looking for, all right? That's what I want to document. That this stone is symbolic of the gate of heaven. What happens to that stone is extremely important, even to us today. Very important. It gives forth signs. Now turn ahead with me to Genesis chapter 35. I want to pick it up with verse 9. God appears again. Genesis 35, verse 9. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. That means supplanter, heel grabber, little pushy type. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel. That is to say, the prince that prevails with God. In other words, he fought God. And God was, I always will believe, God was just having a good time with him, you know, just putting him on. And Jacob thought he was really the heel grabber, I'll get him, you know. But anyway, God, it pleased God. And so he named him the prince that prevails with God. That's what the word means. Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a company of nations. Look around you today. Shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. Kings, and they always have been, always will be, until he returns whose right it is to sit upon that throne. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereupon, and he poured oil thereupon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Beth. El, house of God. And so it is that we see this. Turn ahead with me, if you will, to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20, verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak. Underline that word. Speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. Speak means talk to it. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. It's very important. It was a divine intervention. I want you to think for a moment about the rock in the book of Ezekiel that has to do with the millennium days. And the fact that a spiritual stream flows from that rock under that throne of God. And no man can cross it, and yet there are trees on both sides. Think about it. And think where the rock sits today under that great coronation chair. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. I want you to learn a lesson from this. God sometimes gives you tools, but use them as he instructs. Not as you might, in a hurried moment, strive with your own mind. He said, take your rod, but speak. He didn't say, beat the rock. You got it? Okay? And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron, verse 10, gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Question. Of course, you know probably what they're thinking when he's pointing to the rock. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. He didn't speak to it. He smote, not once, but twice, the rock. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Moses was not allowed to enter the promised land. I think it's probably important that when you think of the rock, no, they had it with them. Did they just go up and speak? Did he mean go up and speak to that rock and that mountain? No, it was a specific a specific rock. I want to go for a moment, and I want to call attention to and read an article. What rock are we talking about? And we'll nail this down in a moment. London. The Stone of Scone, that's the stone that sits under the coronation chair. For hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, there has not been a king or queen. That the coronation did not take place over that stone, the Stone of Destiny, the Stone of Scone. Many call it, even to this day, and there was a sign there, Jacob's Pillow, a pillar rather, Jacob's Pillar. The Stone of Scone, a symbol of power at the coronation of English and British kings over for 700 years, is returned to Scotland. Is returning to Scotland. Prime Minister John Major made the announcement Wednesday to the House of Commons, stoking debate over whether Scotland should gain some form of independence. Of course, that's what they want, but they want the stone also. The stone is a powerful symbol in the debate. Carried away by King Edward I in 1296, the 400-pound stone of Scone, pronounced Scone, reportedly was the coronation seat of ancient kings of Scotland and Ireland, and some say the pillow of the patriarch Jacob. Some say. A lot of us say it. Yeah. Have you ever read the Declaration, the Scottish Declaration? I hope you have. I hope you own a copy of it. In many of your own families, mine is mentioned. And there's nothing personal in this, but it's an important contract that you don't forget your heritage. It now reposes beneath the coronation chair in Westminster Abbey, where it has been used in every coronation since 1308. I got news for you. It was used even before that, all the way back to Jacob. Major said it would be sent back to Scotland as soon as a suitable site was chosen. Opposition parties who advocate independence from Scotland said the return of the stone was not enough. The majority of the people in Scotland want not just the symbol, but the substance. And so it is. You can't blame them for wanting their freedom. The stone is said to have been Jacob's pillow when he had his dream of Jacob's ladder. A story told in the book of Genesis. We just covered it. It also is said to have been kept, taken to Egypt. Listen to me. Egypt? That's true. Who took it there? Jeremiah. Along with tender twigs which the daughters of Zedekiah, not the males, they were killed. But those tender branches, those daughters of Zedekiah went with the stone, Jeremiah, to Ireland. And you've seen one of my documentaries where we found the same symbols in the Rio Grande Valley as are found at Oldenfallow's tomb, which is a Celtic name meaning the great prophet, and his scribe, Baruch, which is Baruch, of course. And many people say, that's just an accident. I could put that in real strong language, but it isn't. You can't. It's absolute. And here it's about to be moved. What does that mean? And it was also taken from Egypt once, Spain, and then Ireland twice, where it was placed on the sacred hill at Tara. And you all know the story of Tara. It's important. It really is. When Irish King set on it at coronations, it was supposed to groan aloud if the claimant was royal and remain silent if he was a pretender. Well, man always must have his little things. I want to mention one other thing in passing.
The program you are viewing are highlights of Pastor Arnold Murray's Fall Fellowship 1996 messages, Stone of Scone and Labor Pangs. If you would like to order copies of these messages in their entirety, you may do so. The audio tapes are our item number 924, Stone of Scone, and 925, Labor Pangs. The suggested donation for all audio tapes is $4. The VHS tape, which contains both messages, is our item 59.93, Fall Fellowship 1996. Send your orders to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736.
I thank our Father for His leading, His Word. You know, when Jesus said, "Behold, I have foretold you all things," do you know He meant it? The thing is you've got to dig it out. You've got to find it. He put it there, and when you pray for that knowledge and that wisdom. But we are in a generation where as many signs are being given that are aligning seemingly to me with the Word of God because of the dates, times, places, so forth. So it's important. Now, I want to show you the eclipse. Notice the redness of the moon, and right down by that station, that is Saturn. A little static on Saturn there. Right before the sea. Do you see Saturn? Yeah. You know what that symbolic of? Satan. And notice the redness of that moon. Would you say it looks like it might be blood? All right. Good. Very good. Thank you, Harlan. Now, I want you to open your Bibles to Isaiah, great prophet, and I want us to start with chapter 1. And we're not going to do the entire book of Isaiah this afternoon. But I do want to cover a verse or two. First, to prepare our minds, what are moons utilized in time to, in relationship to Saturn or Satan? For he is the prince of darkness. All prophecies given to God's children, you are given in days, deus, children of light. Therefore, when we have all these eclipses, putting in the moon in the dark, then these definitely have to do with the spurious Messiah or Satan himself. Again, prophecies relating to you, 1,260 days. To Satan, 42 moons. Or if you prefer in the English, months. 42 months. That time is given. Both of them approximately 3.5 years. But that's God's way of doing it. Now, God makes a statement in chapter 1. Let's pick it up about verse 8 so we understand who He's talking to. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Look at her today. Look at the children of this world. How many of them know for sure there even is a God because of what they've been taught, the lives they lead, the surroundings? Think about it. Think how fortunate you are. Really, people have turned away from God, and it's almost an insult to say you're a Christian to some people. To us, we say it with pride, because we follow Him. Never, always stand your ground and never let anybody talk down to you as a Christian. You stand up. Because you are expected to lead and you shall in not too distant a future. 9, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, and thank God for that remnant, for it is His elect that have been from this time to this, that care, that want more truth. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Now, it's not talking about those. It's saying you'd be like that, okay? So that you don't get pulled off on the next verse. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. That means you that act like Sodom. I could look at the capital today and kind of begin to wonder, you know, that the sodomy and Gomorrah, give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. He's saying you're like that. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? What good is it for you to play church? Saith the Lord, I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. Tired of that stuff. Why? Because he knew Messiah was coming, and his blood would be let for one and all times. And your offering is the love offering of your heart, mind, body, and soul to Him. To serve Him, to love Him for what He has done for you. 12. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Who invited you there? And you know, if you want to claim to be a preacher or a teacher or a pastor, he's kind of saying, if you don't know what you're talking about, you don't have any business there. All right? Bring no more vain oblation. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons, this is why we came here. The new moons and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, as then in the Hebrew, even the solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. In other words, those that pretend to be leaders and teachers of God's Word that mislead souls, though it may be done innocently, I would hate to be in their shoes. God is tired of it. Moon, we go by the solar calendar. And you might say, well, why are you making such a big deal then out of the lunar? Because God wants you to look at their calendar, their ways, so that you know the signs of the time, so that you know what's happening. Let me have a couple of volunteers pull this right up here forward for me, please. Move it up about here so that people can see, please. It's wonderful to serve the Lord. It really is. Thank you. Let's give them a hand. Thank you. All right. Let's see. We'll start with this color. All right. On April 3rd this year, we had a lunar eclipse. Maybe I should have had one of them volunteer to do this artwork. And it was red. Exactly 6 months later, we had another eclipse. September the 26th, 96. And it was very red. We just viewed a picture of it. When each of these, this happens to be a harvest moon. Do you think it's harvest time? Is that what he's telling you? I don't know. I'm just pointing out that you want to keep your head out of the sand. You want to be ready. You want to be on guard. Now, many say this is the last lunar eclipse until the year 2000. Well, that just isn't for America, yes. But for the world, no way. No way at all. As a matter of fact, in exactly 6 more months, here in the Americas, we will have a 92% eclipse, and it will look like an upside down U, like a pouring out. It happens March the 23rd, 97. 92%. This happened on Passover, this on Feast of Tabernacles, and this one on Purim. It's poured out. Both are Sabbaths except for Purim. Purim is not a Sabbath. All right, it comes from the book of Esther, the casting of lots. We have a very strange thing that will be happening at that same time. We'll have a comet on the scene. When that sucker there goes dark, that comet is going to be firing up the sky. It's called Hale-Bopp. Hale-Bopp will be the closest it will be to Earth on March the 23rd. Many people on the net are already calling her Wormwood. Now that's hearsay. You don't pay attention to that. But where are they getting this? The rabbinical students have always said that when Hale-Bopp, I'm sorry, they didn't know about Hale-Bopp, that when a comet goes through Orion, the earth will be destroyed. Hale-Bopp on Passover Day, which will be April. I'm going on their calendar, not ours. You understand? That's why I wanted to make this clear so I don't confuse somebody. 22nd. Also, on April the 22nd and 23rd, you're going to have a shower of northern lights like you haven't seen in a long time in 97. While they're having Passover, Hale-Bopp enters Orion. Hale-Bopp, quite contrary, some people say, but it's been approximately 4,000 years since it was here before. It was exactly 3,600. Do you know what was happening 3,600 years ago? We're talking about things that happen once in a lifetime, once in many lifetimes. The children of Israel were preparing to leave Egypt and enter the promised land. Now, this also is a 6-month period. But there is another total eclipse. Do you know when it happens? You got it 6 months later. It happens in Jerusalem. It's totally red. It happens on Repentance Day, which is a Sabbath. Let me see here. We've got a 6-month period, a 6-month period, and a 6-month period. That is 666, isn't it? Well, isn't that interesting? What? And that equals what? 18 months. Open your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 13. You'll remember what 18 stands for. It's bondage. And you'll remember when Jesus was approached and said, suppose ye these Galileans were sinners above all those 18 that died. Or he would say in verse 4, are those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell? But then he gets to the point, and it's very important to you, in verse 15, where he says, the Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite. He healed this woman, okay, that had been ill, however, for 18 months. Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And of course, bondage is in direct relationship to Satan. And of course, you know, sometimes you like to play with numbers. You know, if we were to double 18 and take this on out another set of three and add one more to it, that'd be seven sets of six. You'd have 42, which is 42 months. Or about 3.5 years would take you to the year 2000. There's some interesting things going to happen in 2000. I'll be talking more about them here in a little bit. I want to share some thoughts on what you want to be looking for on March the 23rd. It's going to be quite a show. It really is. The comet Hale-Bopp will make its closest approach to Earth on Purim, which begins the early morning of Wednesday the 23rd, March the 23rd in 1997. This is an extremely large, bright comet, perhaps the largest, brightest comet ever discovered. This comet will be visible in a most spectacular way because it will be visible during an eclipse of Leibniz, which is to say the moon, that will be a spectacular, deep, partial one that falls just short of totality, 92%, in North America. The moon has a chance of being red or black as sackcloth. The moon will be dark or red, with a comet will be extremely bright and visible. Additionally, the red maze planet, Mars, will be under and very close to this red moon. Hale-Bopp has been called Wormwood by several sites on the internet. If this comet is to be like the biblical wormwood, it will need to break up and leave only a piece hit the Earth. If the whole comet hit the Earth, it would be unlikely for any life to survive. But think about it. The last time it went by, Pharaoh was being dealt out a rough hand. Fire came from heaven in one place. I'm not saying that's what happened. But man, wouldn't that be something? Could that be a reason that when she went through, she tapped something? I'm going to stand about alone here for a minute. Those car windows are really knocking my eyes out. I bet it should give me a halo as bright as those things. That sun shining in there. But I'm just saying, it's an oddity. You know they saw it. Because the thing is, it's as big as a mountain. It's 25 to 100 miles across. It's huge. And that's when it went by. They could not have missed it. It would have been a sign. Thank you, sir. If I was as big as you are, I could block out the sun, too. Thank you very much. Okay. I want to just make a point or two. And it is true that the rabbinical scholars believe that very definitely that when a comet goes through Orion, that's the end. And of course, so when Hale-Bopp passes through Orion, the Talmudic scholars see this as indicating the destruction of the earth. Hale-Bopp will pass through Orion starting the day after Passover, April the 23rd. I got it there, 23rd. During the counting of Omer, and will complete the transit on Feast of Weeks, June the 11th. We've got some really exciting things that are happening. And, of course, you know that the holiday Purim was Esther, or Ishtar's time, and was the casting of lots. Now, this meteor shower that I was telling you about on April the 22nd, at this same time, is the earliest of all major showers. They produce a fairly consistent display. The meteors are medium fast, 28 miles a second, with the hourly rates rarely going above 20. They have been expectations with 1803 and 1920 exceptions in 1803 and 1923 when they were about 96 per hour. That's history. A burst of 250 an hour for a few minutes in 1982. Some of you may remember that. It's a beauty. What does it mean? It means there's going to be a meteor shower. At the same time, though, that Passover and the comet pass the nearest Earth. Do I think the world's going to end because the comet Hale-Bopp goes through Orion? No. The world will end when God's ready for it to. All right? You've got to learn to separate traditions of men away from what you actually see, but don't ever stop looking and praying for understanding of what you do see. Now, there is another interesting thing. It's going to be very difficult for me to explain this because when this eclipse took place, if you were to have been each day, you know, we have the miracles of computers. If you shoot Virgo via computer at the Feast of Trumpets, starting in that year, which would have been here, and work to the year 2000, Virgo, for the first time, works her way toward Draco, which is the dragon, that's Satan, all right, another star for Satan. Each year, she moves closer and closer, until finally in the year 2000, only the star that is the angel's hair, and this is out of my league. I can't remember what the star for angel hair. Buzz, do you know? Can you tell me real quick? Anyway, angel hair. Hey, that'll do. Who won it? You can't get much better than that. Is standing between the virgin who is giving birth, supposedly, and the dragon. Well, that brings a lot of scripture to mind, does it not? Remember Revelation 12, where once before it happened and the dragon was going to wait and to grab the baby from the woman? This time it would remind you that there's angels between the virgin and Satan because the earth is going to open up and swallow the flood of lies from Satan as Antichrist and protect the woman in the wilderness. My friend, these are signs that haven't necessarily happened before. Your Father's telling you something, and you need to pay attention. Now, also, on the year 2000, on May the 7th, you will have a line. You will have Venus, Mars, the moon, let's see, Venus, Mercury, the Sun, Jupiter, Saturn, Mars, and Moon. I better see how many I got. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right. 7 of them. They're going to be in a perfect line. May the 7th, the year, not 2001, but 2000. In the Book of Antiquities, Josephus, in Book 3, Chapter 7, Verse 7, Josephus calls this the menorah of the heavens. And what it really is, it's the seven, it's symbolic of the 7 eyes from the stone that are 7,000 of God's elect. The rock that has, the stone that has eyes. I have reference to Zechariah chapter 3, the closing verses, as it changes into the menorah where the Spirit of God runs through the 7-stemmed light that pours the Spirit of truth into the people of the world. All right? And soon after this, the 2 sons of oil, or the 2 witnesses, no gender, appear. So we're really, I mean, hey, we're coming into some very, these things don't happen every day. And we're coming into some extremely exciting times. Now, I've done a lot of talking. I read another man's paper. Thank God for him. He's one of our students. Big help. But we got to go to the Bible with this, or we got nothing, right? You bet. We got nothing. Zil. Zero. So let's get to the Word. But you will have to admit it sounded good, didn't it? All right. Happening in a harvest moon, indicating we're coming up on a harvest time. And I'll tell you, let's go to Acts. Book of Acts. I can't seem to find the New Testament here this afternoon. Book of Acts chapter 2. I want to know a little bit about what the Bible says in relationship to where we have a big flash of eclipses and very fantastic marvels taking place. And I think of Acts chapter 2 verse 17. In Acts chapter 2 verse 17, you're all familiar with it, that's the day of Pentecost, when they would give the example of Joel the prophet. And it reads in verse 17, chapter 2, "And it shall come to pass," not maybe, "it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." How much? All. "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy," both men, women, male, female. "And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." It doesn't even leave us old ducks out. You know, we get in the act, all right? Verse 18. "And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." You know where this is talking about. Mark 13, when you're delivered up before the Spurious Messiah. Verse 19, "And I will show wonders in heaven above." Anytime wonders happen in heaven above, that's a wonder, all right? That's a wonder. "And signs in the earth beneath," even here, "blood and fire and vapor of smoke." Listen carefully, sharpen up for me. "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great day," that great and notable day "of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And what can we make of that? What can we make of that? Here's the sun.
Here's the earth, and here's the moon. The sun's rays go out, and the earth blocks the sun from the moon, and it's black, it's dark. So, when the subject is the moon turning red, can the sun be seen here on the moon? If you were on the moon here, would you be able to see the sun? The answer is no. It'd be black. It's gone. It's out. Sun turned black because Earth moved in between. How many witnesses do you need? One, two, three, four. There'll be more. What he's saying to you, I think our day is very soon. And I think that it's time that we stay more so into His Word and to seek and pray more about knowledge. God is trying to get our attention. He's telling us something. It might, in a sense, that repentance looks like an R. It looks like a P instead of an R there. But repentance might be what he's talking about in a sense. He wants the world to repent. And, hey, you wait till he starts pulling some of the tricks out of the bag, and they'll start repenting. For some, it'll be too late. But he has chosen a people that he intends to use in these generations. And he has given you signs, and he has also given you the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding. Let's go back to the book of Joel. Let's read that from the Old Testament. Joel chapter 2, the locust army has come. We pick it up in verse 28. And 28 in the book of Joel, we'll be reading the same thing, but I want you to hear a double witness so that you got it for sure. And it shall come to pass, book of Joel, one of the minor prophets, and it shall come to pass afterward, that's after the locust, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Those two have to be at the same time. Before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. That's what he wants. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Not volunteer, the Lord shall call. I don't know, has he called you? Pull your chain? I would think he had. And he's giving you signs. In closing, I have one more place that we need to go. That's Revelation chapter 6. And then we're going to kick this open to questions. Revelation chapter 6. For you fast students, that's the last chapter in the New Testament. I'm sorry, the last book in the New Testament. For these dumb teachers, you know, they get their tongue twisted. Well, you have to overlook. Verse 12 reads of chapter 6, Revelation. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. You'll remember what the sixth seal is. It's not 6 months. It's the seal in which Satan appears on earth. And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell upon unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken.
of a mighty wind.
I don't know. We're getting close to that time.
The signs say it. God's word stipulates it. These things would happen. God said that the moon and the stars and the sun were given four signs. If I were to say that this was not a sign, I certainly would not want to be informed of any. I would be that type of person that wouldn't want to be informed of anything, because we're looking not only at once-in-a-lifetime things, we're looking at once-in-a-dispensation kind of things. The hourglass is ticked, and the sands of time are running out. And God is talking to us in a language that we can understand. We have two witnesses. We have the wonders, and we have the Word. And when you put the two together, with the covering over and the welding together of the Holy Spirit, then each of us must decide. Is Arnold telling us that the world's coming to an end? I don't have to tell you that. The Bible has already said it. It just doesn't say when, neither have I. Okay, I haven't said that. I'm saying open your eyes. You know, God speaks to each of you on a personal level. When He gives you something, only you can understand it. Unless He gives you something and says, expound that, pour that out, then that's a different story. But most often, it's something for you personally. So He has given you these signs personally, and what you do with them, then be about your Father's business and do that. I think it is fascinating. I think this is one of the most exciting times to live upon this earth. Many of the prophets even wanted to live at this time, and you're here as we observe these things come to pass. I know in all this that I've forgotten many things, so you keep studying on your own. All right? It'll come to you. But it is indeed a fantastic time. Father, we thank You, Father, for Your Word, for Your signs. Thank You, Father, for that great stone that You have given us as a sign, the stone of destiny. With all these things, as they come to pass, we observe, Father, give us enlightenment and give us that understanding. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. You have been viewing the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you are interested in obtaining more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer includes the Mark of the Beast audio tape, a newsletter with a written Bible study, a complete audio tape catalog, and a list of reference materials available through Shepherd's Chapel. You may request our free introductory offer by telephone. Call 1-800-643-4645 24 hours a day to request the offer. You may also request by writing Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. That's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us and serious Bible students around the world for our next in-depth Bible study